Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, everybody. Getting ready for a couple hours of some pretty intense NFL talk, some baseball. Right now, I've got an old friend on the line, Ron Middleton, the tight ends coach and assistant special teams coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars. God, I hate to say it that way. It's really a Jaguar, isn't it, Ron?
Yeah, country people, that's no question.
Listen, I wanted to share something with you. You might have already heard it because it just came out just a few minutes ago. Somebody in my business, somebody that we all respected a lot, and I've met him a couple of times. Stuart Scott passed away this morning.
No way. Man.
Ron, he's young. He's like your age. He's 49 years old.
Yeah.
And, Big C, he fought it like crazy. Had it in remission for a while, I think, and then it came back and kind of swallowed him up. And you and I both know there's somewhere else to go when this is all over anyway, and he'll be there pretty quickly. He was a great guy. I don't know if you ever had a chance to meet him.
I did. I met him a couple times there at the Super Bowl we played at it back in the day. He's a real, real cool guy.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Yeah.
The thing I liked the most about him is the time I met him first. I don't know if he mistook me for somebody or what, but he yelled over at me, and I came over. And, when I shake hands, I didn't think he knew me. I said, Bruce Hall, Stuart, I'm a big fan. He goes, I want you to meet my fiance. She was wanting to know who you were, and I think she thought that she knew me. And he brought his fiance over, and we talked for probably 10 minutes. And he couldn't have been nicer. I mean, because I was nobody. You know that. I might have met him at a Super Bowl, come to think of it. We went to a few of those, didn't we?
We did, Bruce. We did. We went to a few of them, no question.
Hey, listen, Ron, for those of you that don't know your background, you're from Atmore, Alabama. You went to Auburn, which is where people dream about playing. You played for Pat Dye, who I knew at East Carolina before he came to Auburn. Pat is one of the greatest college coaches in the history of college football. You ran the bone there, didn't you?
First year, sure did. My freshman year, we did. We ran the wishbone.
And then you spread it out a little bit when you started getting all that talent. And probably brought some offensive guys in. Pat was a big picture guy, kind of, wasn't he? He was a true head coach, even though I think defense was his forte, right? Or was he a guard? I think he was an offensive guard or something.
Yeah, he was an offensive guard, believe it or not. Not big in stature, but big in heart.
Yeah, did he go to Georgia?
He did. Went to Georgia. That's correct.
Yeah, back when people didn't complain about the head coach like they do. I mean, the guy that's there now, I feel so sorry for him. He does a great job, Mark Richt. He does a great job every year. Every year, the alumni want him out of there, and they must be graduating some guys or something because he's doing something right. You know what I mean?
That's right. Exactly right. Like you say, the program doesn't get in trouble. He's graduating kids. They're winning games. I don't know what else they want.
Exactly. They won a national championship. They ain't going to get one for a while, I don't think. Let me ask you this, Ron. What did you think about the playoff system? I mean, do you like the playoff system? You think that's the way to do it?
Yes. I just applaud them for doing something. Now, is it gonna be perfect? I doubt it. It'll never be perfect. But I applaud them for trying something. I think this is you're gonna still have like the two that didn't get in, TCU and Baylor. It's gonna be controversial with anything, but I do think this is the most fair way to pick a champion or for the champion to arise. I like it. Now, could you add two more teams? Yeah, but then, you know, you're adding two more games. So, I don't know. I like it. I like it. Like I said, I'm glad they did.
Something. Yeah, I think what they're going to end up doing is going to eight teams because it's only another week. It's just one more set of games. And you don't want to buy because the problem with buys is it's not really a positive thing having a buy sometimes.
Right.
You know, if they give the one and two seeds the buys, you know, they may be actually punishing them. And not meaning to. And I think eight's perfect because I don't think the team that's going to win the national championship would be seeded 9-16. I think it'll be somewhere in the top eight. Now, if they'd have had eight this year, you'd have seen Baylor and TCU in there and maybe Michigan State too. I mean, there were some pretty good teams, especially TCU. They got hosed. Hey, Ron, I don't know if you know. You don't listen to the show all the time, I know, because you're so busy on Sundays. But and right now you're not. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Jaguars in a minute. And we're going to talk about the AFC South too, because you know we got somebody playing from the AFC South today that you're very familiar with, the Indianapolis Colts. You know, but I had. As soon as Ohio State beat Wisconsin 59-0, actually it wasn't after the game, it was at halftime I knew something was up because I watched the game. And in my opinion, what happened there was they played games in order to make sure that the only team, Ohio State, in the Big Ten that had a chance to even make the playoffs destroyed Wisconsin, who was ranked, I want to say number 9 or something, number 8 or 9. And by doing that, that got them in, even though TCU won 55-3.
Wow.
And so, so in order for that to happen, Barry Alvarez had to have a little something to do. This is all my opinion now. But he was on the committee. He's one of the biggest guys in the Big Ten. You know that. And, you know, and he coached at Wisconsin. The thing that was so weird about that whole situation, Ron, was their head coach, Anderson, left. He was gone to Oregon State by Tuesday morning. He disappeared. Why? Because that's the best way to get him out of there. I think there's a story there. And I've actually gotten some confirmation that there is a story there, but I think I'm gonna leave it alone. For now, unless somebody else will probably write that book. Let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Can we do that?
Okay. Sure.
You know, Gus Bradley, I think the world of. Great coach, good guy. You probably know him as good as anybody. He's a defensive guy, but he's a big picture guy. Isn't he? And you guys now you didn't really make many changes. Jed Fish is gone, and that was more, I mean, by reading into it and listening to Gus's presser, you know, they don't, you know, he's going to say nice things about somebody leaving anyway, but it sounds like the offense was just a little too tough, and it wasn't what they were looking for offensively. And they're going to bring in have they replaced the offensive coordinator yet?
Not that I know of, no.
Well, there's some guys out there. You know, there's some real good guys. I like Pep Hamilton, the guy that's in Indianapolis, but they're saying he may even get called for a head coaching job. I disagree. I think Indianapolis will just pay him a little more money and keep him there because he was Andrew Luck's coach at Stanford, his quarterback.
That's right.
So you and I both know if you're OC there, you're not letting Pep Hamilton go, are you?
No, he's pretty hot right now. And I heard yesterday during the game that he's supposed to interview with Buffalo this week, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. But Buffalo's having their own problems. I mean, whoever their GM is that wrote that deal in there where they got to pay, you know, what's his name? Doug Marrone gets to leave, but he gets paid again for another year. I mean, I'd be firing me a general manager is what I'd be doing. You know? I mean, well, what is that about? And now, I know Buffalo, you know Buffalo went through, you know, an ownership change. And that must have had just as much – maybe there was just too much excitement in Buffalo and too much damn snow for anybody to get that right. But Doug Marone's the one that's going to end up laughing. He's been around. We're gonna probably break here in a few seconds, Ron. I want you to stay on for another segment if you don't mind. Do you mind? And we're gonna get into. So we're gonna talk about offense. We're gonna talk about the Jaguars. What you think we need? You ready for me, big fella?
Oh yeah, let's do it.
All right, I'm gonna sell something here for the NAR. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'll be back in a minute with Ron Middleton of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hold on, and we'll be right back.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and we're on the line with Ron Middleton of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ron, your coaching career, I just want to let everybody know who we're talking to here. And I remember when you started your coaching career, when you left Washington, where you mm-hmm. were living at the time. And we got to be friends back then when you were with the Redskins. And, of course, you played for a handful of teams at the end of your career. You started out with Cleveland. You ended up in Washington. I think you went back to Cleveland and then came back to Washington. I know you went to the Rams in San Diego, and I think even Atlanta. Maybe Atlanta drafted you or you signed with them first. But you were with, like, five NFL teams. But when you started mm-hmm. coaching, who was the head coach at Troy State?
Larry Blakeney was the head coach.
Now he is a good coach. And for those of you who don't know anything about Troy State has always got a good program, and some really good coaches have been the head coaches mm-hmm. there. You started out there, then you went to Ole Miss with David Cutcliffe for like 5 years, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now Cut, is thought of as maybe the best offensive mind, not only in college football, but in football, period. He coached both Eli and Peyton Manning. That's not a bad thing to have on your resume. And I remember when you were coaching with him down in Oxford, you guys had some great teams there. Then you left there and went to Tampa Bay to kind of get and I think Cut was still there at the time. They made a big, yes. they made a big mistake at Ole Miss when they let him go the year after. But at Tampa Bay, you were with John Gruden 3 years, I think. I'm guessing.
That's correct.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. just resigned. Then all of a sudden you get a call from some guy named Nick Saban who was referred to you by David Cutcliffe, right? And then you go mm-hmm. to Alabama and do some recruiting and coach tight ends and do some special team stuff. And that you were involved with the recruiting class that won that national championship, correct?
Both of them, yes.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. those were the best teams Alabama's ever had. Alabama, who lost the other night, basically in a semifinals of the national tournament, I mean, if they had half the defense you did, they would have won that game. They just can't stop people from scoring. It just seems like most of their studs are on offense, and you're not going to win a national championship every year. But then you go to David Cutcliffe gets a job at Duke University of all places, where Steve mm-hmm. Spurrier coached when I was like hanging around Greenville right when I got out of college, and I don't think they'd had a winning season since Spurrier was there.
That's correct.
And mm-hmm. and David has just turned the Duke program completely around, and now it's just it's kind of NFLU. I mean, his receivers, there's a run. I saw a running back for somebody playing the other day that was one of his running backs.
Denver.
Yeah, the quarterback that was there when you were there, just mm-hmm. he continually gets called up and is on practice squads, and then he signs and he's with these teams. I mean, mm-hmm. David Cutcliffe offensively, he's the nut, isn't he? He's the guy.
Yes. He's one of the most innovative minds I've been around. And, he's just overall a hell of a coach, but more so he's a good man. And that's why he's having really the success that he's having. He works hard and he treats people right. And that's a great combination.
Now, listen, you guys are in the AFC South, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you got a slow start this year. But, you know, we talked about this when you were on the show at the start of the season. And one of the things that you lack, you still need players. You need quality players at every position. And the draft is only going to get you so far every year, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when you got there, the one thing that Gus needed to do is he had to see. I mean, this is the way you do it even in college. You got to see who you're going to keep and who you don't need. And you can't necessarily let go of some players when you're in your first 2 years like you have been this year and last year. But you had a better draft this year. You looked like you were a little longer in the positions this year. And I think next year you're set up, because I think you went 4-8 the last 12 games, and you had some really close games at the end of the season. You guys finished pretty strong. Let's talk about your guys a little bit. You don't really have just a knockout running back. You actually used a guy that was a former quarterback. Is Allen Robinson the guy I'm thinking about that was at Michigan?
No, it's D-Rob.
That D-Rob, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you got two Robinsons.
Yeah, Al is the receiver from Penn State.
Now, they both ended up on the injured list at the end of the season, which couldn't have helped you.
No, didn't help at all. Didn't help at all.
But they did a good job. And you got a guy, Blake Bortles, who's a local kid from South Florida. And great athlete, big kid. You know, when you asked him, he stepped in there. And even though you probably didn't, and you did that because Henny got hurt, right, early in the season?
No, it was a decision to just play him. Initially, we had said we were going to set him most of the year, Blake. But they didn't have the start that we wanted to, and we decided to just go through the growing pains with Blake this year, with all the rest of the rookies we had on the offense, to just go with the growing pains and let them go through it together.
Now, what do you consider Blake's strong points? I mean, what's going to make him in 3 years a real good quality quarterback in the NFL?
I think he's a tough kid, great competitor. I think he is he's smart. I think he's athletic. I think his size allows him to take the rigors of an NFL quarterback. He led the AFC quarterbacks in rushing this year. You know, on some design runs, quarterback runs. I think that added that dimension that he brings to the table makes him a tough check for defenses. You know,
yep.
With him having the threat to run the read option, to run the quarterback draws and that type of thing, it causes problems for them. Blake is a I think his biggest attribute is his competitive nature. I mean, he will fight to the end, and I think that's going to go very well for us in the future with these getting the attitude right with the players that we're trying to get done. I think he's tailor-made for that.
Now, he's got good feet, right? I mean, he's working that out. He's a big kid. He's got to be, what, 6'4", 230, 235?
Yeah, at least.
He looks like a tight end to me.
Looks like a tight end, exactly.
The thing I've liked about watching him is he never gives up. Now, you know, his quarterback rating was around 70, but that was because he had so many picks. I think he had 17 picks and only 11 touchdown passes. A lot of those would be coverage picks, you know, where, you know, he misread something, or maybe he didn't look somebody off, or maybe a ball was tipped or whatever. But this is your guy, right, Ron? This is the guy that's going to make the difference in the long run for you guys.
No question. That is our franchise quarterback. And once he started out, he did throw a whole bunch of interceptions. But if you look over the last six games, I think he threw two interceptions the last six games, and one of those was the last play of the Baltimore game, I think it was. So he's, you know, again, the growing pains that you go through with a rookie quarterback. But to answer your question, he's definitely the guy. No question.
Well, yeah. Listen, at least you already have an answer. The Washington Redskins are up here with three quarterbacks, and they don't have a clue what they're going to do. Of course, that has nothing. That you have a good owner, though. I really like Mr. Khan. I think I've read a lot about the guy. He is a very unique dude. I mean, he's an entrepreneur, and he's a billionaire because of it. Those guys are smart, usually. The guy we have might be a billionaire, but that's only because he owns the Redskins. Everything else he does isn't very smart, but I don't have to tell you that. And you would never say that.
I'm going to let you say that. I'm not allowed to.
Absolutely.
I'm not touching that now.
Hey, Ron, let's do this. Let's talk about the Colts. Andrew Luck, he's a real deal, isn't he?
Player, yes, he is. he's phenomenal.
Yeah, he's now they play today, and I'm sitting here looking at this game, and there's no way, in my opinion, that the Bengals without AC Green are going to have a shot at beating Indianapolis today. I mean, you know, Andrew Luck. The last time that when they played them this year, they're not in their division. But they did play them this year. Green didn't play, and they shut them down because they manned up on the receivers they had left, and they basically played with eight or nine in the box the whole game. You know, they're gonna make them do it again. And now the Bengals can run, but you know it's a lot easier to run when you got a top five wide receiver in there, isn't it?
Oh yeah, the passing game usually helps the running game. That's for sure. Yes, you know, and we play. Of course, we're in the same division as Indy, and our division played the Bengals division. That was our out of division common opponents this year. So, I'm familiar with both teams for sure. You know that Andy Dalton, the quarterback for, I really like him. He's a, I think he's an up and coming star, and I look for big things from him. The defensive coordinator for the Colts, though, ex teammate of mine's Greg Minuski. He was with us there at Washington,
right?
And linebacker for us there, and
good ball player too. Good special teams
good ball
guy.
Player. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. He's a good player and he was a good player and a good coordinator now, good coach.
Right.
He doesn't do a lot of fancy things, but what they do is solid, and those guys play really hard for him. So I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah. If you had to pick one or the other, who do you think will handle that? I mean, you've gone into Indianapolis every year once and played the last 2 years. Is it tough playing in there?
Tough place to play. Tough.
Is it really? Because I can't tell on television.
No, I'll tell you now. They get behind their coach, man, and they love those guys. And you know, the fans are going to do their part in getting them on. In the playoffs, that's for sure. You can count on that.
Fans
will show up. So now, yeah, it'll be a great game, but I don't know who's going to win it.
Good for you. I'm glad that you don't even you know what? You don't even have to concern yourself with who wins it, do you? Not until next year. Hey, listen, the Lions.
Unfortunately, yes.
No, but next year I'm not worried about you guys. Now the Lions go to Arlington, Texas, where you know you and I both feel the same way about the Cowboys. You won't say it because, you know, ultimately they may offer you a job one day, but I think this is the best team they've had in a long time. And I think the Lions just aren't going to be able to score enough points to keep up with the Cowboys today. What have you liked about what you see in Dallas this year?
Jeez, that offensive line, man.
Reminds you of an old offensive line you used to be on, doesn't it?
Yes. Those guys are big. They're athletic. They're nasty. And they like leaning on you. They like putting that weight on you, man. they get downhill, and that running back, DeMarco Murray, you know, he's benefiting from that offensive line. Not that he's not a great player, but life is easier for a running back with that kind of offensive line. I think their defense has vastly improved. The whole defensive staff over there were with me at Tampa, so I'm kind of pulling for them, believe it or not, Bruce.
Is that Marinelli?
Because of my friends that are the coaching staff there.
That's Marinelli, isn't it?
Yeah, Marinelli.
Yeah, he did a good job at Tampa. I mean, you guys had some really good coaches over there. You did.
Yes. And on the special teams coordinator, Versace, that's my guy now.
That's right.
You know, so he's...
Wasn't he at Ole Miss, too?
He was.
Oh, he was the guy from, like, New Jersey or somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. You remember him.
Yeah, I remember all those guys, Ronnie. We're talking to Ron Middleton, one of the best coaches in the NFL. A guy that if you don't know him and you don't read about him, you don't realize, you know, the kind of coach this guy is. This is why you've always got a job, Ron. And this is why everybody wants you, and then they don't want to let go of you. It's almost like you get dragged away from people.
Yeah, I hope it stays like that, too.
Hey, when you were in Tampa, one last question. Excuse me. One last question. When you were in Tampa, did you get to meet Jay Gruden? He was on the staff, wasn't he?
Yeah, Jay and I, hell, our lockers were right next to each other.
He's a good guy, isn't he? Yeah. Isn't he a good guy? He's a good guy.
Oh, Jay's awesome.
Yeah.
Jay is awesome. And he's awesome, and he's very smart, Bruce. And if they just give him a chance, man, if they just give him a chance, I promise you, Jay will figure it out. And the Redskins will be okay. I said, they just give him a chance.
Yeah, I think that they're going to definitely do that because he signed a four-year deal or five-year deal for $5 million a year. They don't want to have to pay him and not have him
awesome.
Here. Hey, listen,
awesome.
Ron, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Anytime, B.
Hey, yeah,
anytime,
and listen,
brother.
In the offseason, we'll be talking a lot more because, you know, awesome. I consider what you say, you can write it in blood, brother. You take care of yourself, all right?
I appreciate you, man.
All right,
okay,
man.
Beef.
Ron Middleton, Jacksonville Jaguars. Probably by about the year 2019, you'll see them in the Super Bowl if Gus has his way and Ron has his way. We'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Just getting back to everybody, wanted to remind everybody, sad news today in the sports world. Stuart Scott, dead at the age of 49, one of the great ones, phenomenal guy. I'm sitting here reading on Twitter, Frank Caliendo, who, you know, is one of my favorites, period. He says, I just heard that Stuart Scott passed away when I was in college. He was the guy I wanted to be when I grew up. And you know what? Who wouldn't want to be Stuart Scott? You know, the guy was phenomenal. He was around everything all the time. And like I said, one of the nicest people I've ever met. Went out of his way to make you feel comfortable. And that's the way most people should be. That's the way all people should be. They should want to be like Stuart. Well, we got a whole day of football, only two games, but it's going to be an all day of football because from the time I...
Two's all you need.
Yeah, well, as soon as I get in the car at noon, I'll be switched onto the radio listening to the same thing I listen to on my way home every weekend, every Sunday. And like to hear certain guys on the radio talk about the games. I'm not going to even say who they are because I'm not going to give the four-letter network any comp. They're not paying me a dime. And and by the way, the NFL, because of, you know, like the, well, the NCAA, obviously nothing but good things being said about their playoff situation there. I think there's going to be eight teams next year. We talked about that. We're going to have a couple more guests on later today, and we're going to talk about the NCAA situation. We're going to talk about the good things with the NCAA and the bad things. The biggest, baddest thing with the NCAA. If you're in the Westchester area, you're not necessarily just a football fan, because I've been up there. That's where our show goes out of, Westchester County, WFAS, AM 1230 up there. And I got to tell you, you know, being a former wrestler and former baseball player, I'm not real happy with what the NCAA does with college football from a standpoint of scholarships. In my opinion, you know, that's just crap what they do. Football gets, in Division I, gets 85 full scholarships. You can even say under certain situations they get more. Sports like baseball get 11.7. Wrestling, which is down to 66 Division I programs in the NCAA from close to 400 when I wrestled in the 70s, they get 9.9 scholarships. Shoot, I'd take 4.9. Give me 4.9 scholarships in wrestling, and I could probably, or 6 or 7.9, I could probably end up with as good a wrestling program within 5 years of anybody. But you go to an athletic director, and I have, or you go to anybody on, you know, the board of directors at a college, and you talk about taking scholarships away from football, and they look at you like you're from Mars. Yet there's, at least in most programs, there are so many millions and millions of dollars wasted on kids that never see the football field. And I'm not saying they're wasting them, but, you know, they get a full scholarship somewhere. They have problems. They're, you know, they have to redshirt a year. They lose their scholarship. They get it back. Their third team, they might even be number four on the depth chart. And they may be there 4 years getting $25,000 to $50,000 a year in scholarship money and never, ever play one down of football. Hey, you give that money to soccer players. You know, so I don't know what soccer is. Soccer's probably something like, it's probably like 9.9. I don't know. Somebody call me up and tell me that's a soccer coach in a Division I program. My point is, if they're going to count football as a men's sport, which, listen, if you're a woman and you want to be a football player, I dare them to try to keep you from playing football, because there isn't a female sport opposite football. There isn't. But they count it as a men's sport. In my opinion, what they need to do is pull that out. Just pull football out. That has nothing to do with sport and everything to do with money. It's all about money. It's all about money. That's why I, you know, that's why do you think Ohio State and Wisconsin got together, in my opinion, and decided that they were going to, Ohio State was going to beat Wisconsin so bad that the committee was going to be forced to let Ohio State in. Exactly. And Ohio State, by the way, deserved to get in. But they lost to Virginia Tech second game of the season, and that gave them so many bad points that they weren't going to make it. So they had to literally step over a team like Baylor, and especially a team like TCU. TCU showed this week they're for real. And they get 10 of their starting offensive players back next year. TCU is going to be in the top four in the country next year. No question. I just wish I was their defensive coordinator. I go out and recruit the baddest defense in the world. In the world. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Like I said, sad news today. Stuart Scott dead at the age of 49. Everybody's favorite guy. Wonderful guy. And you're going to be, you know, reading and seeing about that the rest of the day. This is Wild Card Sunday. You know, we've got a couple of games today. The late game is the Detroit Lions. They travel into Arlington, Texas to play the Dallas Cowboys. Yeehaw! Well, Dallas at home is 4-4 this year. And we've said many, many times, you know, being a handicapper and having a lot of fun with the NFL games and, you know, talking about them all week long, you know, whether it's on my show or somebody else's show. The Cowboys have never, since they built Jerry's World, which I call the spaceship, because if you're outside of, the Cowboys Stadium, it's called AT&T Stadium now. If you're outside of that place, it looks like a spaceship, just huge. It could be like a space station, I guess. And when you walk inside it, you think that you've accidentally walked into a nightclub, because there's women dancing everywhere. There, people are dressed to the hilt. There are bands playing. There is music playing. There's food everywhere. And I'm telling you, it really is a lot of fun to go to the place. You don't even want to leave. I mean, I tried to stay the day I went. I went when the time I got to go. I actually saw, speaking of Ron Middleton and the Jacksonville Jaguars, who we just got off the phone with a few minutes ago, I saw the Jaguars beat the Cowboys in 2010 by almost 40 points there. Beat them up, just crushed them. And David Garrard was the quarterback. David Garrard from East Carolina University, that's, you know, can't even get a job now in the NFL.
Yeah, he was great in fantasy back in the day. I won a couple championships off his
David's
back.
A good kid, too. I like David a lot. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall with Matt Lynch. We'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Every time I think about Stuart Scott passing away today, I get sad. So I couldn't talk there for a second when we came back. Stuart Scott, dead of cancer, age of 49, one of the greats in the business, and one of the nicest guys in the world that you'll ever meet. If you ever had a chance to meet him, you think exactly the same as I do of him, because I've seen him around people. He's a people person. And, you know, my heart goes out to his family and friends. Stuart Scott, rest in peace, brother. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about Stuart will want me to go on with the show. That's for sure. I'm going to go over some bowl game finals. For those of you that, and by the way, nhbowl.com is a great way to find me. Yesterday I pushed. Today I'm on both favorites. I'm not even going to mince words. I think both favorites are going to win and cover today. I think Indianapolis wins by at least 10. And I think, because they're due for a good game and they're at home, and the Bengals do not have AC Green. And the last time they played this year without AC Green against the Indianapolis Colts in Indy, they lost 27-0. I think it won't be that bad, but it'll be similar. They're going to have to run the ball probably 50 times and make Indianapolis come up and stop the run. Then hopefully that'll loosen up things for Sanu and Gresham. And when I start thinking about who their receivers are, maybe it's not a pretty sight. Anyway, let's go back. Let's start with the last game. That would be my alma mater. That would be I'm sitting here looking right now at the bowl results. Hold on a second. Well, no wonder. Nah, this is correct. East Carolina, we lost 28-20 yesterday in the Birmingham Bowl. And we lost the University of Florida, the Gators. And they're terrible. They have a good defense, but their offense is worse than ours. In my opinion, we just dropped the ball in that game. East Carolina had too many, and we threw too many picks. One for a touchdown. It was a pick six. Shane Carden might end up getting a shot in the NFL, but if they watched yesterday's game, he might not. He's going to need, you know, in my opinion, he needs to work on his footwork. He needs to work on looking off receivers for sure, because he stared down a couple and turnovers occurred, which is not good. But they lost to Florida 28-20. It was a good game. In Tempe at the Cactus Bowl, Oklahoma State beat the University of Washington. That didn't even look like it was going to be a good game. And Washington scored 22 straight points to make a game of it. One of my releases this weekend, Jim Mora's UCLA team. Big controversy at the end of the game when he went to shake hands with the Kansas State coach, who's been around for, 40 years. It was just a real cold handshake. And I don't know. I like Jimmy Mora Jr. I like his dad too, but I didn't like that handshake. That was pretty cold. They won 40-35. They covered. They were like 1.5-point favorites. That was in San Antonio, the Alamo Bowl. In the Tax Slayer Bowl, are you kidding me? In Jacksonville, Florida, we said Jacksonville three times today. That's probably more times than anybody talks about Jacksonville in a week sometimes. Tennessee, the Volunteers beat Iowa, the Hawkeyes, 45-28. And that wasn't even a good game. It ended up a lot closer than it actually was. The game that was unbelievable, Houston scored 29, I think, straight points to beat the Pittsburgh, the Pitt Panthers, 35-34 in Fort Worth. That was the Armed Forces Bowl. I didn't see that coming. I thought Pittsburgh would win that game. And they looked like they were going to. I want to say it was 34-6. And Houston scored 29 straight points and won that. All right, in the playoff semifinal the other night, Ohio State University, who I claim really shouldn't even be in this tournament, but they are. I think TCU should have been there instead of them. They beat Alabama 42-35. Alabama was up 21-6. Matt, did you get to see that game? Great game. It was a good game. Alabama just had too many turnovers, and their defense just didn't do enough to stop Ohio State. A good friend of mine called me early, before the game, and said, "What's the deal, Johnny Pugh?" And I said, "Well, here's the deal. If Ohio State's going to win," he was saying that he'd like to see Urban Meyer beat Saban. A lot of people. This was about two coaches. These are two of the best coaches in the country. I mean, maybe the two best coaches in the country, and. And if Ohio State wins the national championship by beating an Oregon team that I'm rooting very hard for, it could be said that was the championship game. In other words, the semifinal might have been the number one and number two teams in the country. Having said that, Alabama just didn't have enough defense. I mean, you cannot have a complete football team without a good defense. Matter of fact, I'm one of those guys that thinks you got to have a good defense first. And we'll talk about that later when I've got Clark Judge on, because I'm big on Twitter. Go to @BruceHallSports on Twitter. You really need, if you don't follow me, you're missing out, because I give away a lot of free stuff over Twitter. And I also retweet the best guys in the country. I probably retweet more than anybody in the country. That's not true.
Being big on Twitter, like being big in Japan.
Russell Baxter probably retweets more stuff than I do. Russell Baxter, hardest working man in the NFL. He's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. If you don't follow, what is it, @Bax_football or BaxFootballGuru.com.
I think we just totally.
Just look at all you got to do on Twitter is write Russell Baxter in there, and you'll have all of his, all of his Twitter information.
I'm actually going to look it up now.
You need to look it up. You're my producer. I'm sitting here looking at the paper, trying to keep everybody straight. All right, let's go back in the Rose Bowl. Everybody except
Bax Football in the Guru. Everybody, Bax Football Guru.
The only people that were upset in the entire country were in the 650 area code, which is Tallahassee, Florida, because Jameis Winston and his wonderful Florida State University Seminoles, or as we used to call them in East Carolina, semi-holes, half you know what's. And don't get me wrong, I like Florida State.
See, I didn't watch any of the games, but I did follow all the things that came up on Twitter and Facebook, and one of them was the coach for
the lip reading. Yes. The lip reading. It was perfect.
I sit your.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it was, you know, and the great thing about lip reading is I can do it too when it's that obvious. But I mean, you don't go up and start talking buku crap to your coach. But look, when you're this guy and you've done so many things wrong in the 3 years you've been at Florida State University, and you're still starting on the varsity football team, and you've won a Heisman Trophy. I mean, come on, man. I mean, they made this bed. They got to sleep in it. They let this kid, and probably not just him, but other kids, do whatever they want there, as long as they can play ball. You know, you can't do that. You got to get rid of them. You're not going to harm Jameis Winston by kicking him out of Florida State. He'll be in the NFL within 6 months. Don't worry about it. Let him become a professional and see how hard it is. Hey, those guys would like to take a shot at the kid too, probably.
So it was that the kicker who got his
oh my
bell rung.
Gosh, was that in that game? What was that? That
no,
game?
No, I'm talking no, about all
that
the
was
things
in a different
that,
game.
All the things that people like me who didn't actually watch the games know about.
That kid was out. He was out.
More than just his bell rung. That was
his bell-free
rung.
Do you know what? You know what? Davis, my son, pointed out he kicked himself in the head too. His own foot hit himself
it must
in the
hurt
head.
Since he's a kicker.
Well, he was out. He didn't feel it. He was already unconscious.
And then
probably.
There was the one, the running back who pooped himself.
Well, I don't even want to talk about that. That was just bad. Yeah, it could have just been the flu, and it probably was.
That was being
too big
at
of
night.
A too big of a training meal. I mean, you can't eat too much. I mean, you really can't. Anyway, let's go back and look at all these. But anyway, Oregon wins 59-20 over Florida State. So if there was a top 10, they're like number 12 now.
So maybe the coach shouldn't have told him to settle down. He should have said, get fired up. We're going to.
Well, it was too late by the time that happened. Trust me. Before that, Citrus Bowl, Missouri beats Minnesota. Minnesota had a good year. Missouri was up and down all year. Before that, in the Cotton Bowl Classic, this was one of my favorite games. Baylor, who a lot of people said should have been number 4, you know, because they beat TCU in triple overtime during the season. Both of them were one-loss teams, right, for the playoff. Baylor loses to the team I like the most in the Big Ten, Michigan State. They win 42-41. I love that. Peach Bowl in Atlanta, TCU beat Ole Miss, who was a top 4 team for most of the year. Remember what I was talking about, how good TCU is and they should have been in it? They win 42-3 in the Peach Bowl in Atlanta. Boise State beats Arizona. For all of you haters out there that hate Rodriguez, he never smiled in that game. That was fun. Stanford crushed Maryland. That was one of my plays if you called me in. Would you like me to sell something?
No.
All right, we'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. If you just woke up or you just got in the car and you haven't turned on the TV or listened to the radio yet, ESPN broadcaster Stuart Scott, dead at the age of 49, died earlier this morning. So sad to hear. Wonderful, wonderful person, wonderful sports guy. Just, you know, one of the best people you'll ever meet in your life. We got Clark Judge on the phone. Clark, obviously you've been up for a while. Knowing you, you heard about Stuart, right?
I did. Yeah, I did hear about him. 49 years old.
That's way too young.
Yeah, he'd been battling illness for a long time. So I can't say that's a shock, but when it happens, it's always a surprise.
Yeah, the last time I saw Stuart, he looked pretty good. I think he had gone through his second bout with chemo and radiation, And right. He had gained some weight, and he looked pretty good. And, you know, he just went out of his way to talk to me. You know, I mean, just a great guy. I mean, a lot of guys will big league you. You know, Clark. You know the guys. You know, sure. you'll walk up to say something to somebody. And it's one of the reasons I love guys like Ron Jaworski. You know, Ron Jaworski,
yeah,
I talked to Ron Jaworski at a Super Bowl in a bar for 3 hours one time. I mean,
yeah, no, that's the kind of guy he is. That's what I love about Jaws. I mean, Jaws is—he's never too big to talk to anyone. Talk to a guy in the street. He'll talk. Honestly, I'll tell you, a guy was like that, and you're going to laugh about this. Was Eddie DeBartolo when he was the owner of the 49ers? He talked to anyone. He loved fans. He just loved talking about football to people.
I can't really tell you how I know Eddie DeBartolo. I guess because he doesn't own the 49ers. But you know, when I was in the ticket business, we had to get Super Bowl tickets, and the San Francisco 49er booster club's one of the biggest booster clubs in the country, and what they don't sell to their boosters, they, you know, sell to somebody else. And it's kind of an up and down thing. Eddie and Carmen are both out, but you're right. Well, you know, in Tampa, he lives in Tampa. I think he's got a home there.
He does.
And I rented a box for the Redskins Tampa Bay Bucks game. Do you remember the time that the Redskins were lining up to kick like a 46-yard field goal, and the snap came on the ground? And
right. I think that wasn't Turk the holder?
Yeah. Well, Turk was the snapper.
Okay, the punter. The punter was the holder. Who's the
– Yeah, that was his brother. Yeah, that was Matt Turk. But Dan Turk was the long snapper for the Redskins. And, you know, the kicker, I can't even remember who it was, but he had not missed a field goal in like 5 weeks. And they never got the kick off.
And I remember.
But Eddie's box was next to the box I rented. And I was in there probably for a good quarter and a half till I realized Eddie was next door, because I turned around to look and he was staring right at me with a big smile on his face. And, yeah, you're right. He is a good guy. And there aren't owners. There aren't many owners like that. I mean, they think, you know, they're afraid to get too close to somebody or to talk to somebody anymore. I got Clark Judge on with a Talk of Fame network. Clark, did you write something up yet? Or are you going to wait till tonight to write something up
on
the whole weekend? Good.
Yeah, write till tonight. Yeah.
Because if you had written something up, as soon as you're off, I'm going to go read it. Doug, you do a great job on that network, and I love listening to your show on Fridays. How many? You're on a bunch of stations too, aren't you?
Yeah, we're in I think 84 markets right now. It's supposed to jump into over 100 early this month, simply because there are a lot of people who've lost NFL programming who've now got some space to fill, and they'll pick us up. So that's what I've been told, at least.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, you're my hero, because that's the direction I'm trying to go in. And you know, I just had a long talk this week with guy out at the station in Westchester, and I'm hoping to get some stuff done up there. We're on the phone with Clark Judge. Clark is, you know, as far as NFL insiders go, you're the guy. Now I will say this: there are only three people that get the real stuff, but they get information. You actually know how to break down what you see and make it so people like me understand it. And that's what you're so good at. I could talk football all day long. It's like, matter of fact, ever since, you know, I miss Roy, but I wasn't real sure what was going to go on with this upcoming year anyway. And but having somebody on that understands NFL football is everything. That's why I love it when you're on Twitter and there's a game on. It's almost like you find out who knows football when you do that. What did you think about yesterday's NFL games? I mean, the first game was hard to watch, especially if you were on Arizona. And yeah. And listen, I got to tell you, they were in that game like very late in that game. They had the ball on the 3-yard line when, for some reason, you know, Carolina has a pass play called. When they're up 13 points deep in their own territory, and the ball's knocked out of Cam Newton's hand, and they pick it up, and every time they didn't run it in, they didn't get it in. I mean,
yeah, that's right. No, I thought it was a poorly played game on both sides. It's more poorly played by Arizona than it was Carolina. But I heard, you know, the guys on ESPN afterwards talking to Thomas Davis, I think, and they said, you know, this was the greatest defensive effort in the history of playoff football, talking about they got 78 yards total. Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't the greatest defensive effort. It was the worst offensive effort. There's a big difference. I mean, Carolina, to me, wasn't the 85 Bears yesterday. Arizona was just inept. I mean, you had a quarterback who couldn't complete passes. They couldn't get first downs. They couldn't move the ball. More power to Carolina because they won a game that they should have won. Now they go to Seattle where I think they'll get beaten and probably, I don't know if they're going to get beaten badly there, Bruce, but they play them tough at Carolina. They've got some momentum. But the problem they're going to have, though, is trying to solve that defense because once they stone you at the line of scrimmage, then Cam Newton's got to pass. Cam Newton wasn't very accurate yesterday. Matt was throwing the ball all over the yard. And he's got, you know, this foot injury, so we'll see what happens there. But it was a poorly played game, that's all. And Arizona stunk and doesn't deserve to move on. Carolina does, and I think it's the fifth time in six times when since the 70 merger, I think we've had teams with losing records win divisions. Of those six, five of those teams have actually won the playoff game. So the teams with the records that aren't very good. So anyway, Carolina doesn't have records very good, 500. They're good enough to go on to Seattle. More power to them. Seattle's in the same boat in 2010. Beat New Orleans up there, and they moved on to Chicago. Played them tough, but lost that game. I expect that Carolina will play Seattle tough and will lose up there.
Yeah, and the thing I was most impressed with yesterday was the linebacker play. And like you said, I mean, it was like they were playing against the third string Carolina Panthers. I mean, it was like being in training camp and having a scrimmage. And
Lindley was a fourth string quarterback, and they cut him, and you saw why. I mean, he's you know, a nice kid, and he's got some talent, but he doesn't have talent to win a playoff game, and you saw that yesterday. And I felt sorry for him, but that's what happened. He's a four-string quarterback. That's what happens when you start four-stringers.
Yeah, he was in San Diego on their practice squad, and evidently, yep. I don't know exactly how that works, but evidently, if you're on any practice squad, I guess you're an open market.
You might can be claimed, yeah. Yeah, you can be claimed.
Which worked out for him too, and a lot of people wanted to know why this kid from Virginia Tech wasn't in there as bad as this guy was. Evidently, the kid from Virginia Tech is worse. He just doesn't understand.
Yeah, Logan Thomas apparently has got a great arm. It just isn't very accurate. But that really tells you, it speaks volumes about Logan Thomas. You watch that game yesterday and you say, God almighty, you've got to make a change. Well, they didn't make a change. How bad can he be?
he's pretty bad, evidently. I think what it is, he just can't figure the playbook out.
He's a young guy. He's a rookie. So, yeah, you know, maybe he'll come, maybe not. But that was a horrid performance. It was tough to watch. I felt sorry for Arizona. They deserved to be in the game. They played so well this season. They ran out of gas, unfortunately. They ran out of players first, and they ran out of gas.
You know who I felt sorry for was the Arizona defense. I mean, they played so hard, Clark. And you know what? They were going hard right until the end of the game. How many stops did they get? They got like four or five stops in the fourth quarter.
That's what it was going to take for them to win. They had to not only get the stops, they had to give them short fields, get turnovers. And they did that. They did everything. Unfortunately, they missed some tackles, you know. And the thing about that club is down the stretch, they were missing a lot of tackles after contact. And you saw that on the touchdown run. That was bad. There were three missed tackles. And there were others in that game. That's the only thing I can fault those guys up. But unfortunately, Bruce, that's what happens when you lean so heavily. I mean, on one side of the ball, there was no hope on offense. Basically, what they were saying to the defense was, you play defense, and you've got to be our offense, too. You got to be both ends of the ball. And the punter was horrid. Listen, I love his dad, Kevin Butler, but yeah. Drew Butler, he couldn't cut it yesterday. Man, God almighty, what's it take to kick a 40-yard punt? I mean, in the NFL, if you can't do it, you shouldn't be on the team. He really struggled.
No, I totally agree. Clark, I'm going to sell something. Can you hold for one more segment? We'll
sure.
talk about
yeah,
today's games. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back with Clark Judge and more NFL talk in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I've got Clark Judge on the line with Talk of Fame Network. Clark, got two big games today, and I think these games are going to be a little bit better than yesterday's games. Now, I didn't really have a problem, you know, with the Steelers game, except basically it was a hedge as far as play goes. You're crazy not to take the Ravens on the road in a playoff situation with Flacco and Harbaugh. I mean, that just spell. And I like the fact that Haloti Ngata came back. So that's not...
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you said. And honestly, the big loser in that game to me wasn't necessarily Pittsburgh. It was New England. New England does not want to face these guys. New England's at home, where they're pretty good. But in the playoffs, I think the last seven playoff games at home, they're 4-3. And Baltimore's beaten them twice up there. So Baltimore now knows how to get them. Baltimore plays Brady tough. That's going to be tough. I think when I look at this, I go Denver. Denver drives the winner of the Cincinnati-Indianapolis game. They can beat either one of those teams, and Denver's a descending team. If one of those teams had gone to New England, to me, that's a gimme for New England. Now I think New England's got its hands full. Baltimore is the X factor. Baltimore, to me, is a wild card here. That's the team that's the most dangerous team for the clubs like, well, New England and Denver, the two top teams to worry about.
No, I agree, and it's not like New England and Denver recently have looked all that great. You know, New England did what we talked about when I think we talked 2 weeks ago. They weren't going to do anything, you know, in their last game of the season. As a matter of fact, the play was definitely not New England. It was their opponent.
Yeah, they mailed it in. They mailed it in against Buffalo, and they should have. I mean, they're protecting themselves. They've got some players who are hurt. Edelman was hurt. Gronkowski, they're rested. They're smart. I mean, they're smart, and you don't want anything to happen to Brady. So they've got essentially 2 weeks off, although Edelman will have 3 weeks off because he missed the game before as well.
Yeah, the thing about Belichick, and you can be an anti-Belichick guy, I mean, you don't have to like the guy, but he understands what the playoffs are about. You have to have really good weeks of practice during playoff time, and that's all he cared about, and I think he was smart to do that. However, you know, there's a team playing today, the Dallas Cowboys, did exactly the opposite. I was all over the Redskins in the final week of the season and went to the game and everything, and it was the most embarrassing game for the Redskins, besides maybe Tampa Bay, that they lost at home.
That's saying a lot, Bruce. The most embarrassing game of the Redskins. That includes a lot of inventory.
It was horrible. They couldn't tackle anybody. They almost looked like they weren't trying to tackle anybody. Washington has some severe problems. I mean, and they're going to have problems, Clark. We're going to be talking about this as long as we take a breath. They're not going to be, you know, everybody in New York thinks Woody Johnson is horrible, and he's not good, but he's not Daniel Snyder, and they're not the Washington Redskins. They're the New York Jets. They got a shot somehow just because they're in the Big Apple, you know. But and I think Woody doesn't try to be an idiot. I just think he is. I mean, I know.
No, he is. That's right. He can't help himself. He is. Hey, by the way, speaking of our earlier conversation, that was Brett Conway who was trying the field goal in Tampa that day, and it was
right.
Turk who snapped it. And it was Brad Johnson who tried to pick it up, but it was a 52-yarder. Brett Conway was the guy.
You know, the Redskins came from behind in that game, and they were actually ahead the whole game, and something happened. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna remind you of that game if you've got the stats in front of you. Brian Mitchell returned a kickoff for a punt for a touchdown in that game. And I think it was the last touchdown that he scored. And speaking of Talk of Fame and Hall of Fame, I'm expecting B. Mitch to probably make it one day. What do you think about that?
I don't think it's going to happen because the hall doesn't look favorably on special teamers. They've got two in there. You've got Jan Stenroot, and it took us over 25 years to get Ray Guy in, the best punter. You know, there's some people who say Brian Mitchell, Steve Tasker. You know, what about Devin Hester? We had Devin Hester on. Devin Hester said, I belong in the Hall of Fame. Well, he's going to have a tough time because there are people ahead of him. And, yeah, Brian Mitchell's qualified and probably should be a guy who gets some consideration. But I know that room. It's going to take him an awfully long time. I'll be honest with you, Bruce. I just don't see it happening.
Well, you know what? You probably have a good point. Besides, who would know more than you anyway? I feel bad for all those guys. Now, the thing that Brian does have going for him is I think he's got a lifetime. You know, he had not several, but probably 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 yards of total offense, too. He was, you know, he was a running back. And he was a third down back for his last 3 or 4 years. And he'd come in and they'd get first downs or they'd score or they'd do whatever. You know, it's funny.
He played quarterback in the body bag game. Come on.
Can I tell you, he could do it all. He was a quarterback in college. He went to Southwest Louisiana and he won 2 out of 3 games versus Brett Favre, who was at Southern Miss. A lot of people don't even know he was a quarterback. But anyway, Bengals played the Colts today. You know what? The more I can't look at this and not love the Colts. I've got the Colts circled. I have stars next to them. AC Green's not going to play. The last time they played earlier this year, AC Green did not play. They lost 27-0.
Because, yeah, they'd be okay if AC Green didn't play, but AJ Green's not going to play.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
That's going to be a big deal.
Bruce, it's easy to get those confused.
Easy to get them confused. But AJ Green didn't play in the previous game. He's not going to play this time either. But you know, to me, the game here comes down to Jeremy Hill. If they can get this guy going, they've got a chance. If not, they don't, because they're not going to win with Andy Dalton. Listen, what do we know about Andy Dalton in January? He's just a different quarterback. He can't do it. He's got one touchdown, six interceptions, 0-3. Marvin's 0-5. They haven't won playoff games since 1991. They've got to get something going here. That something may be the rookie, Jeremy Hill. If they can't, how's he going to play, and I'm talking about Andy Dalton, play tennis, match serve with Andrew Luck? He's not. That Indianapolis defense isn't very good. They should put up some points, but I think running the ball, controlling the clock, And that's something that, you know, Indianapolis can't run the ball. It's all Andrew Luck, but he's good. He's a lot better than Andy Dalton.
A.C. Green was a basketball player.
Yeah, he was a good one for the Lakers.
He went to Oregon State, I think.
Let me tell you,
you know what? That's the way my brain works, unfortunately.
That's okay. A lot of people make the same mistake. And I tell you what, every time I write, I go, oh, remember, it's A.J., not A.C.
Now, listen, this kid, Heron, who's the running back for – he's done a great job. I mean, he's the only guy in their backfield that gets, you know, close to 5 yards a carry. And it's not like he hasn't gotten the ball. I mean, he's gotten the ball 78 times. He gives them a chance to at least establish the run a little bit. And you know who else does? Andrew Luck, man. And if everybody's covered, he can just take off.
Well, he could move, yeah. And who doesn't is Trent Richardson. But, I mean, if you have third and short and fourth and short, who are you going to give the ball to? And honestly, I have to laugh when people say, oh, it doesn't make a difference. It's not a running game. It's a passing game. Hey, listen, you tell that to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They really miss Le'Veon Bell. You need somebody to work between the tackles. Le'Veon Bell can get around the end as well. They really missed him last night. And you saw that even on pass protection. So I think that's certainly going to handicap Indianapolis. But again, they're at home where they destroyed these guys before. There's so many ghosts that Cincinnati's got to dispel. Dalton's got them. The head coach, Marvin Lewis, has got them. The rest of the team's got them. They've been told not to talk about the history of the playoffs. Why not? I mean, I'd loosen these guys up. Have some fun with it. Joke about it. The more they put those kind of restrictions on, the more they think, uh-oh, you know, we better play not to lose this game rather than play it and to win.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know what? They've surprised me the whole year. If you've watched that entire division, and I know you have, it's a good division. I mean, it may be the best division in the AFC. It probably is this year, and it might be one of the best divisions in football. Shoot, they all had winning records for a while till Cleveland became Cleveland again. Speaking of some trouble, boy, they're having some trouble right now. But, you know, Detroit's to Dallas. But this game in Indy, I mean, it's the line has gone from 6-4. You know, I that means people are jumping on Cincinnati. I don't see it. I just don't see it. The money line in Cincy is only 14%. That means, why wouldn't the money be much higher?
It should be. You know, it's funny, though. I've got Ron Borges and Rick Gosselin on with me at the Talk of Fame Network, and these guys cover the league for a long time. Both of them like Cincinnati in this game. I said, boy, I just don't see it. And they think they're going to be able to run the ball against Indianapolis, control the clock, and they'll take the pressure off of Dalton.
You know, the one thing that I look at and I always look at is, you know, their competition. The Bengals are 4-4 against teams with over 500 records. The Colts are 6-3 against teams with over 500 records, and they're at home, and they have Andrew Luck, and the Cincinnati doesn't have, God, I almost said it again, A.G. Green. Hey, if they had A.G. Green and A.C. Green, they'd be a lot better off.
There you go.
Let me tell you, I just see the Colts here, especially -3 at home. I mean, you know, Andrew Luck, in my opinion, is a wild card. Am I crazy?
No. He's the guy who can win or lose the game for them. But we saw what happened last year against Kansas City when he brought them back from a 28-point deficit. He can be very, very good even when he's turning the ball over, and he turned the ball over in that game. But he's got to clean up his act some because, as I said, he doesn't have much of a running game. Yeah, Heron's okay. I mean, I've got no problem with, but you need more than that, and yep. and they don't have it, and their defense is adequate at best. To me, Indianapolis can win this game, and that's it. I think if they're one, they'll win one, and then they go to Denver, and they'll lose that ball game. So, yeah, Andrew Luck can light it up today. Better enjoy it while you can, Indy fans, because that's going
to
be it.
Yeah, talking to Clark Judge with Talk of Fame Network. Clark, the other game, the one that I'll probably be asleep by halftime at because I got up real early this morning, is the Lions and the Cowboys. Very rarely is it that I love the Cowboys, but I love them today. They're 3-3 against teams over 500. The Lions are 1-4. I mean, the Lions struggle to score points. Yeah, you know, Megatron had that one game against Dallas a couple years ago where he had 329 yards and two or three touchdowns. I don't see that happening today. I just see the Cowboys being able to outscore the Lions. I mean, is that accurate?
Yeah, I think it is, but there's some X factors here. One is, like you mentioned, Detroit's record. Detroit stinks on the road against teams with winning records. They just don't play well. Matt Stafford doesn't play well against teams with winning records on the road, something like 0-16, 0-17. But anyway, he can't beat them. So you go, okay, slam dunk. Well, not so much, because here's what we got going for you if you're Detroit. First of all, you got Sue coming back, but that's good, so the team's sort of lifted by that. Secondly, you're the best defense against the run. What does Dallas do best? They run the ball with DeMarco Murray. So let's say you shut him down. Now you put the pressure on the shoulders of Tony Romo, who's 1-3 in the playoffs and will be feeling the heat. Now, he's been a different quarterback this year, and especially a different quarterback down the stretch. In December, coming into the season, 12-17. This year, 4-0. 15 touchdowns, one interception. That's the sort of stuff that Peyton Manning or Tom Brady does, not this guy. And yet he seems to be different because he's got someone helping him out. That's DeMarco Murray. But what happens if suddenly Murray can't go anywhere, as happened in Thanksgiving against the Eagles when they're playing Mark Sanchez, for goodness sakes, and suddenly they say, okay, now we're going to throw the ball a lot. Well, if that happens, this could be a ball game. This could be close. I agree with you. I like Dallas's game. I think Dallas is the one threat out there to Seattle. Or, you know, if Dallas can get by Green Bay. But I do think they're a threat to Seattle because they can win on the road. They're weatherproof. They can run. They can throw. They can do it all. And they've beaten Seattle there. But this is a little bit of a lesson for all of us because we're going to find out something about the Cowboys today. Trust me, Tony Romo knows what he has to do. That 1-3 record is hanging over him.
Yeah, they can't make mistakes. And last week they were sharp against the Redskins, but the Redskins at halftime looked like they mailed it in.
But look, the week before, Bruce, you know, they destroyed Indianapolis at home. That's the other factor. They're at home. They're 4-4 at home. They're 8-0 on the road. So they're an ordinary team at home, except they did destroy Indianapolis here. And they've had some good wins down that stretch. That game at Philadelphia, to me, was a game changer for everyone. I looked at that and I thought, we learned a lot about Romo. We learned about the Cowboys because they blew a 21-point lead. They were behind. And suddenly, you thought they're going to fold it up. And they go into the fetal position. They'll go back to Dallas and lose the rest of the game. They didn't do that. They came back with a vengeance. They beat them. And then they destroyed Indianapolis and destroyed Washington. They got a lot of momentum.
No, I hear you. Clark, listen, I can't thank you enough, as usual, for coming on. Tell everybody how to follow you on Twitter, Clark.
Sure, it's at Clark Judge, TOF, and you can find us at talkoffamenetwork.com.
Clark, thank you very much, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon. Good luck today.
Get some sleep, Bruce.
No, I'm trying. You know, it's been a long Christmas holidays.
Take care. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Clark Judge, everybody. NFL insider, one of the best in the business. We'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. Just wanted to, if you're just turning us on, Stuart Scott passed away earlier today at the age of 49 due to cancer. We lost a giant in our industry. One of the nicest guys I ever met. Always had time to talk to you. You know, just a super guy. And he will be missed. Rest in peace, Stuart. Boy, that was good talking. He put just enough Detroit in my ear.
For me to worry.
I'm almost thinking I might need a point or two, one direction or another. to even take my Cowboys? Did I almost say my Cowboys? I meant the Cowboys. They're not my Cowboys.
I'm a hunch guy, and I've called it last week with saying that Baltimore. And I have a hunch that Detroit. Well,
I want to hear you call Baltimore next week.
That's New England. I think
they beat them two out of three times in the playoffs.
They're going to get the AFC Championship game. They'll get to the AFC Championship game, then I don't see them getting past that. But my hunch is that Dallas will somehow mess up this game. If they don't mess up this game, it'll be the next game.
That's a hunch?
I'm completely playing my hunches, and my hunch says...
Well, you got to go with your gut. I mean, your gut is everything. I mean, it really is. And my gut tells me Dallas is going to smoke them. You know, here's what bothers me about this game for Detroit. It's going to be indoors. I mean, it is indoors. I mean, they've had bad weather in Texas. It's probably still very cold there. So they're going to have the roof closed there. So it's going to be like being in Detroit. It's not an outdoor game.
Not exactly like being in Detroit.
Well, no, but my point is Ford Field is indoors. You know, and you know, that's where they prefer to play, obviously, on turf, indoors, and that's what they're getting. I just think that Romo is in a point in his career where – You know, one of the reasons I meant to ask Clark this, what he thought of this, but one of the reasons I think Romo is having such a good year is because he's hurt. And because he's hurt, he can't move like he usually does. And when he moves around, sometimes he moves around too much. He's too quick to kind of jump out of the pocket and roll out. I think now, because he is hurt, it's causing him to kind of stay in there and work the pocket a little bit more. And he's keeping his eyes on his receivers a lot better. They've got great receivers. I mean, they do. They have two tight ends that can catch the football. They have RG3's guy, Williams from Baylor, who has been in the league now. This is his third year.
Also got arguably the best running back in the league.
DeMarco Murray, yeah. playing with a broken hand, but he's obviously – it didn't seem to bother him last week. Of course, listen – played the Redskins. So, you know, that isn't exactly Detroit. Detroit is going to play hard. Now, I listened. Remember last Sunday I took off and I went to North Carolina to go see my grandniece and grand nephew, who really, that's not what they are, but they're going to call me Uncle Bruce. And two beautiful little twins and down near the Outer Banks. And the thing was, so when I left, John Pugh and I turned on the radio and we listened to the Green Bay Detroit game, and it was just like you're being there, because I basically visualize everything when I listen to it anyway. I can listen to the radio and it's just like watching a football game for me anyway, as long as the guys are pretty good at describing it. And Green Bay had to play really hard. And they had to get a few breaks in that game to beat Detroit by 10 in Green Bay. Now, Aaron Rodgers had a bad calf. And Ndamukong Suh evidently stepped on it. It must have been while we were in getting barbecue. I stopped at Pierce's Barbecue. I just gave them a plug in Williamsburg. On the way down there, it's exactly half way to the Outer Banks from my house. Detroit can play, you know, and they don't necessarily have to be at home to win. They can win on the road. So this is going to be a good game, at least for a while, I think. But I think, you know, with DeMarco Murray and Dez Bryant and their, you know, tight ends, and, you know, they've got backup running backs that are averaging 5-6 yards a carry. Dunbar can run the football. I mean, these guys are good, and it's going to be an interesting game. We're just going to have to see what happens. We're supposed to get one more call from my guy in Cleveland, because we just want to see if Cleveland's still on the map. Sometimes we never know what's going to go on. Tony Mazur's going to call in, hopefully before too long. This Cowboy game, here's what I'm going to play today. This is what I'm going to tell everybody that I think is a safe play. Generally speaking, exotics aren't something you want to deal with, but the Cowboys and the over are two good plays. For Detroit to be in this game, oops, I just hit my head on my thing. Doink! That's my microphone testing. One, two. Hey, I'm on the radio.
Having a hard time thinking up a play for this, aren't you?
The Cowboys and the over If you take the Cowboys at -6.5 and turn them into +3.5, and you take over 49 and turn it into over 39, and throw that in there with the Colts at +6.5 or +7, I think you're in good shape. I think that teaser is probably a winner. I do like the over for 5 stars. I like the boys for 3 stars, and I like Indy for 3 stars. Matter of fact, I like the boys for 4 stars. You know, the Cowboys, listen, there was a time when the Cowboys were used to winning. They're just starting to get used to it again. You know, 12-4 is a pretty good record. They went 12-4 this year. Now, granted, it was in the NFC least, where the Redskins are and the Giants are.
Well, and
a good Eagle.
The Redskins once.
Yeah, well.
So one of those losses is to the Redskins.
Well, that was when they hurt Tony Romo's back. Mm-hmm. And Jerry Jones actually put him back in the game. Because I don't think it had anything to do with his doctors or anything to do with his head coach. I think that was, remember, that was when Jerry Jones went down on the field and he was, to me, look, in my opinion.
I'm not a doctor, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn last
night. Yeah, he was lit up. I think he was lit up with a few cocktails and he said, hey, we got to get him back in there. Well, they got him back in there and they didn't win anyway. And then he, you know, then I think he sat the next game, and then he came back. Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. He did, as a matter of fact. They got a good backup. Brandon Whedon can play. But, he's not Romo. He's definitely not Romo. That's going to be a good game. The early game is – I'm sorry, that is – no, that's the late game.
Yeah.
The early game is Indy. And let me tell you, Cincinnati has had – and we've – how many times have I said – I was wrong about Cincinnati. I think about 3 times I've said that this year. Now, my percentage that I'm hitting right now is probably in the 53 to 55% range. I'm barely over 500. But if you look at, in the Daily News, or you look in the Baltimore Sun, or you look in where some of these guys have these, of course, if you talk to John Kincaid, he's at 70%. But I'm not so sure about that because I can't ever get John to call me.
As long as you're playing with John Kincaid's numbers, I mean, John Kincaid.
Well, you know, a lot of that has a lot to do with it. Like, for example, whatever the line is on Monday doesn't have a damn thing to do with what the line is on Sunday morning. And they do, you know, they adjust. And you know how I work my lines because I do it all the time. I just think
you're adjusting up until the moment that you make the decision.
Oh, absolutely.
You're just refreshing all the numbers.
Absolutely. Plus, you're looking at the injury report. And you also, you know, you do count on some people who are in that city that know what's going on. Beat writers are the best. That's why Twitter is just. You have got to follow me on Twitter at Bruce All Sports. If I don't make you do anything else this year, except for you absolutely need to get a USA Today Sports Weekly. You got to have one of those. I usually buy 2 or 3 of them. That way I can rip them up. I can tear pages. I can look at them. I mean, look, I even have part of my show on top of this page. But the Bengals and Colts is going to be a good game. It's going to be a physical game. Marvin Lewis. Oh, this is something that I've had. This is something that I've had with
one of the beat reporters.
It's my beat reporter. The thing that is amazing about this Bengals Colts game is that Marvin Lewis is a defensive coordinator in 2000 when your wife's Baltimore Ravens won their first title. I was there. I was in Tampa. It was a mess. You couldn't find a ticket under $5,000 a seat. There was a shortage of tickets. There were too many people there. It's like supply and demand, and it drove the price through the roof. That was when I walked on the field because I had a field pass before the game, and all these. I told the story how there's like photographers right in front of me taking pictures of me walking on. Only it was because Jim Brown was standing next to me, and I didn't know it. Jim Brown's a pretty famous guy.
Just throw up some signs.
You know, I'm almost Jim Brown's size. I mean, he was a big dude when he played, but he's gotten a little smaller. We all tend to get a little bit smaller. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. for Matt Lynch. We'll be back in a minute with Tony Mazur, hopefully, if Cleveland's still on the map.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Getting into a little bit of New York football news. Not that the Giants and the Jets have anything going on, but evidently the Jets still looking for a general manager who will hopefully hire head coach. There's a lot of talk about Doug Marrone being the guy. All of the Jets beat writers that I have looked at are claiming that the fans are in an uproar. They don't want Marrone. Marrone was the guy that coached the Bills for the last 2 years and coached Syracuse University before that.
Actually turned them into less of a laughingstock than they've been in a while.
They actually ended up 9-7. We got Tony Mazur on the line. Tony, what do you think about this Doug Marrone thing, Doug Marrone being the favorite to get the job with the Jets?
Well, he has that history, though, with the Jets. And really, I didn't understand the signing in the first place. I know he was a nearby Syracuse guy. I don't know. That was one of those strange signings where it's like, what did he do at Syracuse to merit a head coaching job at the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, you know, he was an assistant with the Jets. I guess he was an offensive line coach back in the early 2000s. And then he's kind of bounced around a little bit. He's evidently a pretty sharp guy, but I would have a problem hiring a guy that gave up on a 9-7 team 2 years into his situation. Now, I got to tell you, you know the situation with his buyout, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who in the world is going to give a guy a deal like that? They had to give a guy a deal like that to get him to coach their team? I mean, what? I don't get that. He's getting paid for next year, even though he quit.
Isn't that amazing? Haven't you noticed all these head coaching vacancies and rumored head coaching opportunities? They're all retread. It's like there's not that up and coming like Harbaugh from a couple of years ago. You're not seeing any of these new coaches coming up. It's, well, Rex Ryan rumored to go to the 49ers and, God forbid, Pat Shurmur interviewing with the Oakland Raiders. What is going on here?
I think Oakland would interview me. I mean, you know, the point is, I mean, by the way, I know a little something about what's going on in Oakland because I talked to the general manager's brother earlier this week, and we had a good talk. They're interviewing guys, but they kind of like Sperano, you know, and Sperano tried to make it in Miami, remember, and he had a real good year, and he almost made the playoffs. He might have even made the playoffs his first year there. And then the next year they went, what, like 2-14 or something?
Well, that was when they kept using that Wildcat. They were using Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams and doing that. And then, remember, that died out so quickly. They did that here in Cleveland with Josh Cribbs for a little bit because Cribbs was a quarterback at Kent State. And the novelty of the Wildcat wore off after probably about a year and a half.
You know what? I just wish the Redskins would go ahead and sign Tebow and run the Wildcat and let him throw out of it about 10 or 15 times a game for touchdowns. I mean,
can Tebow come to the Browns?
You know, can I tell you what? I would, you know what? Just think how exciting it would be to have him come to the Browns. I'm Bruce Hall. I got Tony Mazur. He's a Cleveland expert in more ways than one. Tony, did you have a good holiday, buddy?
I certainly did. Kind of quiet, but.
Really?
Yeah, just enjoying the, now I think it's 52 degrees here in Cleveland, and it'll be 18 tomorrow.
It's chilling.
Kind of preparing for the worst.
We're supposed to get that weather around the end of the week, too. It's coming this way. You're really not that far from D.C. You're you know, in New York especially. I mean, generally what you get, New York gets. You know, eventually they get it. And I got a feeling that we're probably – I got a feeling that somebody's trying to get in my door. Hey, get out of here, lady. I got a show going on here. Hey, listen, Talk to me about Cleveland. What's going on with the Cleveland football team? Because I read one thing, then I hear another. Then I hear something, I read something totally different.
Well, the Browns are in basically complete mutiny right now, it seems. That Mike Pettine, the head coach, coming over from Buffalo, there's another connection. Jim O'Neill was the D coordinator, also from Buffalo, because after all, that's where you want to build your franchise, you know, out of the Buffalo Bills. And, I mean, Pettine has actually been very difficult when it comes to dealing with a lot of the rookies, like Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert, who weren't showing up for practices and workouts or whatever, and Josh Gordon. It seems that, I mean, just last year I was on with you guys and talking about this guy's an elite wide receiver, and this year his head's in a different place, and there's a possibility he's probably not going to come back next year. So we don't know what we have. Brian Hoyer fizzled out early on, about midway through the season, and you saw that why he was a backup quarterback. And Johnny Manziel just wasn't ready. He wasn't mentally prepared. He wasn't physically prepared. And right now they have no idea what they're going to do at quarterback. Running backs, fine. Wide receivers, the Browns really need to hit in this draft. And if you take a look back at last year's draft, not a good state of affairs.
Let me ask you this. You're picking somewhere. You do have a first-round pick this year, right?
Yes. Okay, yeah, actually, we have two of them.
So you're picking
two of them. The Buffalo pick, because Buffalo traded up to get Sammy Watkins. So the Browns will have the 13th pick, and then wherever Buffalo's picking.
Yeah, and that's going to probably be like 18 or 20 or 22. You know, you're going to get a couple of good players like that. Now, let me ask you this. You lost your center, right, early in the year for good.
Mm-hmm.
Is he coming back?
He's the highest paid center in the league. He'll be back.
Okay.
He tore his ACL, but he's been rehabbing fine. It was really the anchor of that team. Alex Mack is a guy that he's a first-round pick. He's most notably at number 5 overall. The Browns had the pick, and they traded down with the Jets, and the Jets ended up getting the Browns' pick, which was Mark Sanchez. So
right.
Funny how things worked out.
Now your D line is okay. Do you run a 3-4?
Yeah, it's a 3-4. It really, and it changes every year. Every time the Browns hire and fire a new coach. 4-3, 3-4, 4-4. It's just all these different things. It's like civils running the defense.
Well, now your defensive coordinator is who now?
Is Jim O'Neill. He was up with Mike Pettine in Buffalo.
Okay.
The previous year.
So he's a decent D coordinator. You like him?
Yeah, he's all right. There are some schemes that the Browns have some horses. They have Joe Hayden.
He's an all-pro Hayden every year, right?
Yeah, and he's the problem is every time they try to put somebody opposite him, it just ends up sizzling out. They have a guy named Buster Skrine, which he's gotten better in coverage, but Buster Skrine, I mean, this guy is what is the exact thing that happens when you have a safety that you moved over to corner and didn't move him back.
Right. All right, I'm going to ask you the tough questions now. Cincinnati's playing today. Your old buddy Marvin Lewis, you know, he's been doing it with mirrors all year. I really think he's done a hell of a coaching job. I'm not a big Andy Dalton fan like some people are, but, you know, they have a running game. Do they have a shot against Indianapolis today?
Sorry, I'm outside.
No, that's okay. It sounds like you're out in the wind.
If I'd say if Cincinnati has a shot, it's very slim because we all know the Cincinnati Bengals record, but they haven't won a playoff game since 1990.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's really ridiculous. And Marvin Lewis has this path because every time he's on the hot seat, they end up going 10-6, 11-5, 12-4. And then bounced on the first track. So Marvin Lewis, I mean, that's a guy who has some job security right there.
Right. Do you think they have a shot against Indianapolis? I mean, you know, you guys probably did. Did you play Indy this year? I don't even know if you did
yes.
or not. Did you?
Did the Browns play Indy? Yes, they did. That was that was the classic 25-24 game that Brian Hoyer just played awful. The Browns played the best defense they've had since they've come back in 99, and they still end up losing. The Browns got two defensive touchdowns in the game and still lost.
I remember that game now. You know, the thing I do like about Cleveland is I like the fact that it looked like no matter what was going on, the defense, when they got out on the field, they looked like they played hard. I mean, they tried to keep you guys in games. I mean, it could have been a lot different season, but I'm beginning to think you're going to need a quarterback sooner or later. You want Robert Griffin?
No, thanks. You guys can keep him over at DC.
We're trying to figure out if he's the guy.
Seriously, you guys are well aware of the infamous jersey we have here in Cleveland that starts out with Tim Couch and has every starting quarterback since 1999. We are on to, I believe it's 22.
Yeah, that was on your Twitter page, wasn't it? Wasn't that on your Twitter page?
Yeah, and it's the funniest thing ever. And we're going into next season, and you know how it is in sports radio, Bruce. You go up there and you're like, well, you analyze the situation after the fact and you go, well, is Manziel the guy for the future? I don't know. Is Hoyer the guy for the future? He's a backup. And then all of a sudden, yeah, let's take Robert Griffin III. Yeah, let's draft Jameis Winston. And it just ends up becoming this, oh my God, really are we talking about this right now? conversation. Stability at quarterback, not in Cleveland's MO.
How old is Tim Couch? I mean, maybe he's not too old to bring back.
Tim Couch, you know, by the way, I when I was producing at a radio station here in town, I booked Tim Couch, and I had to really convince him because Cleveland fans booed him they booed him off the field when he was, and actually cheered when he got injured. And he always had a problem with Cleveland, and it wasn't until just a couple of years ago. Cleveland fans are looking back and going, Tim, I apologize. You were the best quarterback the Browns have had since 99. And it was the same way with Marty Schottenheimer, by the way. You remember that, Bruce.
Oh, the playoffs. I love Marty. Love him. You know, I mean.
What is it with Marty that he has problems with management? He was a winner in Kansas City, one in Cleveland. He was in Washington for 1 year. They went 8-8 in the tandem after that. And then it was 14-2 in San Diego, and then they fire him after that because they lose to a powerhouse New England.
You know why he got fired in San Diego? Because he interviewed his son after they told him not to interview him. That's AJ Smith, and you know how bad he is? He's on our payroll. He may end up being our next general manager. I mean, we haven't had a general manager in so long. It's unbelievable. We got a minute left. Let me ask you this. Give me the score of the Indianapolis game today. What do you think the score is going to be?
I think it's going to be 34-17 Indy. I think Cincinnati pulls out a typical Cincinnati Bengals, as we call them, the Bungles here in Cleveland, even though they've had some recent success. I'm going Cincinnati today over Indianapolis. Indianapolis over Cincinnati
pick. Well, I tell you what, I hope you're right because that's kind of how I'm feeling about it. Listen, I can't thank you enough for coming on, Tony. All right?
Go Cavs.
Yeah, exactly. How about that? We'll talk to you soon, buddy. All right. Tony Mazur. At Tony Mazur. M-A-Z-U-R. We'll be back next week with Second Opinion.